Today's scripture reading is from John 6, verses 1 to 15. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test them, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Thus the word of the Lord.
I wonder how it went in heaven with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit deciding together what needed to be done. The agenda was, the goal was, the purifying of all creation from the consequences of sin. I just imagine the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit say, "Let's have a meeting. Let's talk about this. Let's decide together what will be done to accomplish our divine will and blessing for the world." They said, "Okay, Jesus, we're looking at you. You're the one that's going to go down into the world, and you'll be incarnated, you'll be made flesh within the womb of the Virgin Mary. And you're going to live. On earth, you're going to be a human. And you are going to face every temptation. But Jesus, your mandate is to turn away from every sin. You will not succumb. You will be perfectly obedient. And then you are going to show the power of God and the presence of God by doing a bunch of really great things. You, Jesus, we are sending you as the Trinity, we are sending you to heal the sick. We're sending you to raise the dead. While you're there, why don't you walk on water and, just for fun, turn water into wine?" What we want you to do, Jesus, I think God in His Trinity of completion said, we want you to preach and we want you to teach the people. We want you to die, to be that perfect sacrifice that is worthy of taking away the sin of the world. And you will rise. And you will reign again. But there's one other thing that we want you to do. We want you to identify and gather and equip disciples. Because it is our judgment that the best thing is that there be a church on the earth. A church where our people can be together, can learn and grow and find fellowship and testify to the truth. Build the kingdom of God after you, Jesus, have gone back to heaven. Now let's jump into this text. John chapter 6 is a beautiful, powerful story of a bunch of hungry people getting fed where it seemed that there was no food available. But the story doesn't really focus on the 5,000 men. This is a passage, this is a text, this is a story about the disciples. And it's important that we recognize that this is a story about the disciples. Look at the passage again. Jesus, if you see in chapter 5 and chapter 4 before that, Jesus had been actively engaged in this ministry of healing, of preaching and teaching, of showing the kingdom of God, and he was getting a lot, and I mean a lot, of attention. He was a success. If you say, I'm going to start this new thing, I'm going to go into ministry, and I'm going to start a new movement, well, Jesus did that. I mean, people were listening. People were wanting to be with him. But it got a little much for Jesus, and so he said, let's take off. They got into a boat, and they crossed over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They wanted to get away from the fans. They needed a break. So across the lake, he goes up a mountain with his disciples and he sits down with them. Now, when a rabbi goes up a mountain and sits with his disciples, they're not just taking a break. It's not R&R. That is words that mean this was teaching time. The master was teaching his disciples about the things that he wants to teach them about. It says the Passover time was just about there. So I think the context implies to us strongly that Jesus was teaching them about the meaning of the Passover. And remember, the Passover was when the Israelites sacrificed a lamb, which represented the victory of God in freeing them from Egypt, from the slavery that they had. And it's poignant, of course, because Jesus is the Lamb of God, and Jesus is our Passover Lamb. He takes away the sin of the world. He brings us freedom. And so, wouldn't you just have loved to be among the disciples on the side of that mountain where Jesus is teaching them about the Passover? And couldn't imagine what a privilege that would be. But he helped them to understand their faith. He helped them to understand their God better. That's what a rabbi does. That's what Jesus did. He was teaching his disciples. And after they'd been teaching a while, they looked up, and coming up the mountain were the multitudes. They had walked all the way around the Sea of Galilee, and they had found him. Now, the Sea of Galilee is kind of like Lake Simcoe. You know, maybe even actually a little bit smaller than Lake Simcoe. So it's not unbelievable that they could have walked around and found Jesus, and that's what they did. They saw him taking off. They knew what direction he was going. They tracked him down. They walked around the Sea of Galilee because these people wanted to see and hear Jesus. They just took off. Hey, he's going. Let's follow him. And they just took off, and this massive amount of people walked around the sea. But they finally found him after a long hike, a very long hike, and their immediate need, their pressing need of the moment was for supper. They were hungry. They hadn't given thought to the fact that if we're going to go on this long journey to find Jesus again, we're going to need something to eat. Now, Jesus, the text says, he saw these people, he knew their hunger, and it says that he knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew that he was going to feed them. He knew he was going to feed them by a miraculous sign, that this feeding would be a revelation also to them, that they and the disciples could ponder on for years to come. He could have gone straight to it. He could have said, oh, here they come. Okay, get them to sit down and, okay, I got this, I got it. I know what I'm going to do. But instead, he wanted to teach the disciples something critically important and to give them a test. Now, Philip, the disciple, Philip happened to be from the area where they were. When they crossed the Sea of Galilee to that part of the Promised Land, they were in Philip's backyard. That's where his family was. That's where he had grown up. He knew the area. He knew what the resources were in the area. So Jesus says to him, Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people? Because if anybody's going to know, Philip, it's you. Now, as he asked that, remember, there is a ton of people. It says that there were 5,000 men. The text is very clear. They're talking about the men. They counted the men, and then you're supposed to extrapolate onto the size of the whole crowd. So, probably double that, actually. There are women, there are some kids, probably 10,000 people. Anyway, where you got to feed 5,000, you got to feed 10,000. Still, like, you don't have anything. You can't feed any of them. But it was an amazing number. And where would they have found that much food on short notice? Like, right now, you can't just, phone, Domino's and say, deliver us 2,000 pizzas, please. You can't get in the car and go to Costco and clean them out so you can feed everybody. What do you do? What were they going to do? And Philip pointed out that even if there was a Costco, well, he didn't say Costco, of course, but even if there was a place where you could buy enough food on short notice for this much people, the amount of money that would cost was way out of their budget. They didn't have it. It says that the original text says that it would cost 200 denarii to give everyone even just a single bite. A working man, the typical working person, earned one denarii a day. So 200 denarii was one man working for 200 days, which is at least half a year, and that would only give a nibble to everybody. It wasn't enough. The local connections didn't pan out, didn't have the money anyway. So now I imagine Jesus looking at the rest of the disciples, okay, Philip can't help us being the local boy. What do you think? I imagine him kind of cocking one eyebrow up. What do you think, guys? What's the plan? What are you going to do? And then Andrew speaks up. Now, I wonder about this Andrew. He says, well, there's a kid here. He's got little five buns, five dinner rolls, and he's got two little fish, maybe that big. So that's a start. And what was Andrew really saying by saying that? I puzzled over that this week. It could have been that he said, well, maybe we need to poll the crowd, see if anybody actually did take some food along, and we'll see if we can get people to share, and at least then they won't starve. Maybe they'll keep them from fainting. Maybe, is that what Philip was saying? Or Andrew was saying? Maybe he was being sarcastic. Well, look at all this. The only thing we got is, five dinner rolls and two little fish, and we got 10,000 men, women, and children. Is he being sarcastic, showing just how ridiculous and out of control this situation was? Maybe he's actually saying words of great faith? Was he saying, Jesus, you are the Lord, and we have these five dinner rolls, and we have these two little fish. Why don't you do something amazing, show your power and your might and your lordship, and feed the people with these? Well, personally, I think that's the least likely answer to what Andrew is saying. I actually think he's being more sarcastic or defeatist than anything. You can decide for yourself. You can agree with me or not. But Jesus says, okay, I'm now going to show you something. Now I'm going to teach you something, and you need to pay attention. Notice again that Jesus got the people to sit down, and he did not preach a sermon. He didn't give them a spiritual lesson. Now, I've been involved at different times in my life in street persons ministries, and in Grand Rapids when I lived there, I would help out at a shelter where street guys that lived on the street could come for a meal and then have a place to sleep that night. But before they got fed, they had to listen to a sermon. And a couple of times I was the one that gave the sermon. And you could see these men who all they wanted was something to eat. All they wanted was a safe place to lay down their heads. And they got to listen to me go on and on before they would be allowed to eat. I didn't like that. I thought that wasn't, I wasn't really comfortable with that. But Jesus didn't do that at all. He didn't say, okay, first you gotta say how much you love me. Say, first you have to hear me express all my wisdom. He said, no. He said, all I want you to do is sit down. And he prayed over the food. He prayed a prayer of thanksgiving when it was five dinner rolls and two tiny little fish. While it was still that, Jesus prayed a prayer of thanksgiving, and then he began distributing. He divided, he broke into pieces and more and more. And the fish, he broke into pieces for the people. And he divided it so that there was enough for all those people, for those 5,000 men, for the additional women and children, to all have enough to be completely satisfied. Have all that you want. You're stuffed. I can't eat anymore. Thank you, it was good, but that's enough. And though the text doesn't explicitly say so, I think the context tells us that the disciples were the ones who were distributing the food, that they would receive from the hand of Jesus the bread and the fish that were being separated from these five dinner rolls and these two little fish, and they were carrying it out to the people that were seated on the ground and said, here, eat. The Lord is blessing you. And what were the lessons that the disciples were to hear in this? Well, a bunch of things. I think they were supposed to understand and see that Jesus is the Lord of miraculous provision. He is the one who is uniquely equipped as the Son of God, and when the situation looks hopeless, remember that Jesus, the Lord of miraculous provision, is the one who is with you. So don't despair. Don't give up. Don't freak out, because Jesus is with you. So his power and his capacity as the Son of God. I think that they were supposed to understand that Jesus really cares for the people. It wasn't just about the in-group. I think that if they had taken those five dinner rolls and those two fish, and Jesus and his disciples, well, they could have gotten by on that. They said, well, we'll take that. Well, sorry, kid. You know, thanks, but you know, we'll take it, and we're going to eat it, and we're going to be satisfied, or at least not hungry anymore. And the rest of the crowds, well, they're on their own. But Jesus, of course, didn't do that. said, I see the crowd, I see the multitude, I see the need of the world, and I am the one who will satisfy that need. And when everyone was done eating, when everyone was satisfied, Jesus told the disciples, go out there amongst the people and collect the leftovers and put them in baskets. And the 12 disciples went into the crowd and they each filled up a basket full of the surplus. Now there's another strong lesson in this that we should hear. Jesus provides miraculously, not just for the short term. Those baskets represent the long term. The baskets represent the future. The baskets represent capacity that God gives for us to go out and continue the work that He has done. Hungry people could go to any one of the disciples and say, hey, do you have bread? Can you feed my hunger? Can you meet my need? And the disciples, because of the gift of Christ, could say, indeed I can. Take and eat. I think there's a strong Lord's Supper message here, right? That when we take, when we have Lord's Supper, and we do every month here, that we are taking from the abundance of God so that we can be connected to the Lord of the miracle. Now, I would like us to now think forward in the life and the ministry of these disciples. They continued on with Jesus after this. They saw more miracles. They heard more teachings. They saw stuff. Think to the point of their lives and ministries in which Jesus had already died on the cross. Jesus had risen from the dead. Jesus had ascended into heaven. And now think of the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. On that day of Pentecost, they preached, they testified, they shared about the victory of Christ to all who would hear. And it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, those who accepted the message of the disciples were baptized, and 3,000 were added to their number that day. How in the world would a small group of people mentor, disciple, bring into the faith and the community of Jesus when there are thousands of people a day coming and saying, I want to be part of the community of Christ. I want to worship the Lord with you. I want to put my trust in Jesus because He is the only hope for me. How is it possible for the small group of people to feed spiritually the thousands that are coming to the Lord? How is it possible? Who has the resources to handle that kind of need and opportunity? Who can do it? The Lord of miraculous provision is the one who can do it. The Lord who cares for the multitudes will see to it that these disciples have the capacity, have the opportunity, have the resources within themselves given by God to draw these people together, to feed them. It is the Lord who equips His people to meet the need, even when the need looks so big and is so overwhelming and is so out of control abundant. It is the Lord who supplies what is needed. You know, here we are, September 23, 2018, the beginning of the church year for Bethel Church, the day in which we have affixed our names to the various ministries of our church. And there's people that are away, that aren't here today, whose names aren't on there. There's more than this that are part of the ministry of our church. And Jesus is asking us, how are you going to feed the people in your community? How are we going to be the disciples of Christ in this time and in this place? We do. We live in a community filled with people who are spiritually famished, whose souls are starving. Some of them know that they're starving. Some of them are coming to us and to other Christian churches in our community and saying, we need to fill this spiritual hole within us and find the way to hope in life. And there are people that we are mentoring, discipling, explaining the truth to. Some of these people, you know, don't know that they have a spiritual emptiness. They're like frogs in the pot of water. You heard that old story where, you know, if you put a frog in just like warm water in a pot, it's happy as a frog. But if you turn up the heat slowly, that as the temperature rises, the frog keeps getting used to it, and finally it's boiling hot, and the frog doesn't realize that it is being boiled to death. I think that's the way it is for a lot of people in our society. They don't understand that they are in a spiritually lost place, and that they are running out of time, that they're in great peril. They don't know. And that's part of what we need to do as a church, is to help people understand reality, understand the truth of their own situation, and show them that there is a way to life, that it doesn't have to be that way for them. But how can we, little us, regular people us, ordinary people us, meet the need of a community? We say we are few, right? Like we're not empty. But when you think of the spiritual need of the places where we live in Burlington and Waterdown and Flamborough, some of us in Dundas. The amount of people that we should and wish to know the true and best way are legion. Our resources. You know, we're generous people. We give significant amounts of money so that we can engage in all these ministries and have this kind of a platform to reach the community, but our resources are limited. And the need is so great. What do? Just give up on it? Say it's just too much. We can't make a dent. Well, no, let's not do that. We need to trust in the Lord of miraculous provision. The Lord who fed the multitudes with 5 dinner rolls and 2 little fish is the Lord who can meet the spiritual hunger of our community using little things like Bethel Church to feed them. We need to trust and believe that Jesus does really care for the multitude of hungry people in the world. And that's his nature. We need to understand the nature of Jesus is to care. We need to trust that the Holy Spirit will equip his people. And that is to say, we need to believe that the Holy Spirit will equip us to be his servants in addressing those needs. We say, you know, this church is meant to be a blessing to the world. And the Spirit will make it possible. Folks, you are standing with a basket in your hands. A basket of the blessing of God in Christ. And what you have in your basket is that which can give life and hope to a world in peril. So let's continue as we have and maybe need to start blessing, because we have been commissioned for ministry. This morning, we have said again, we accept the call in the name of the Lord to bless the world and ourselves in the name of Christ. So let's do this. Let's engage in ministry. Let's use our gifts. Let's exercise our faith. Let's trust in the Lord. Let's expect miracles of transformation and grace and renewal. And may God build his church and bless our community. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself to us, for showing yourself to be the Lord of the miracle. Give us faith to anticipate miracles, to seize on to your miracles, and to bless the world through them. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.